Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I too am thankful to be here. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to get together here with brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's just a blessing. Appreciate what Brother Jim had to share there. I have a feeling in going through some of the things that I, Lord willing, go through here. You will hear some of the same things repeated, maybe out of some different scriptures, but you will hear some of the same things. So I believe maybe in some ways, I think the Lord's always trying to keep our eyes on Him, but I think there's some things there that He especially wants us to pay attention to. Let's pray. Father, it is indeed good to be here again this morning, and all because of Jesus. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us and for your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you show towards us, the patience that you show towards us, that you give us, Lord. Help us to be patient with one another. Help us, Lord, to grow and keep our eyes on you and walk towards you. Lift up to you our brother Emmanuel today as he's sharing, I think, down in Pennsylvania. Just bless him. Pray, Father, that you would give us hearts after you. Help us to hear your word. Help us to be doers of your word. Just pray that you would speak to hearts today. And may you have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciated the thought there towards the end that Brother Jim shared. Our feelings do not determine God's love for us. God's love for us is great. He's there. And just because we don't feel it doesn't mean that He's not there. And that is, that's just a good promise that I have hung on to many times. If you'd open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, working through Galatians here, and our brother Matthew there, I don't know, a month or two or three, I'm not sure, not too long ago, spoke there on Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, so I'm not going to expound on that as much, but look here at Galatians chapter 6. I'd like to read the first 10 verses. Could we stand for this? If we could all stand as we read this scripture. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are in the household of faith. You may be seated. Starting here in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. How often we deceive ourselves. It is so easy to forget that without Christ and with the pride that so easily slips in, we are really nothing. One reason that we're so quick that we are not so quick to help other people is because we, other people that fall into sin there, as it's talking there in the first verses, is because we think of ourselves too highly. And when we think of ourselves too highly, we forget how much a brother needs help because we're thinking too much of ourselves. Reminds me of the Pharisee in Luke 18:11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He prayed with himself. I looked that up. I thought, that's interesting. Alone, away from others, because he was too good for others. Possibly that was the reason. I couldn't help but think how dangerous that is when we go and be alone, away from others, because there's no church good enough. There's nobody good enough. And so we're just going to go do our own thing. Anyways, he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. We may not say this. We may not stand there and pray that like this Pharisee did, but too many times do we think it and maybe show it by the way we act. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That comes up again. Brother Jim just shared that. Thinking soberly. Walking soberly. We should think soberly and always be aware that without Christ, we are really nothing. We're no better than that sinner without Christ. I recently read a story that I thought kind of proved a point. A mouse was riding on the back of an elephant, and they came to a bridge that shook and trembled under the heavy tread of the elephant. When they reached the other side, the mouse turned to the elephant and said, my, didn't we shake that bridge? How often does God do things in our life and we think, wow, we really made things happen? One factor that makes us tender and generous, meek and humble, sympathetic and helpful toward others is the realization of how little we actually are. We must understand that we can do all things through Christ, not all things in our own strength. Let us not be deceived into thinking we are something when we are nothing. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What does that mean? I don't think it means that we're supposed to be proud of ourselves. Let each one examine his own work. How do we do that? Each person has to put forth the effort to do God's word, God's will as it is revealed in his word. John Wesley had a self-examination list. 10 points here that help us consider if we really think about these things and how we answer them really helps to show where we're at and what we understand. What do you think of most? What do you do with leisure time? What is it that I tend to laugh at? Do I take time for daily personal devotions? Do I try and win others to faith in Christ? Am I jealous, critical, irritable, and hard to please? How do I treat those who are unkind to me? Have I worked unnecessarily on the Lord's day? Have I quarreled with or needlessly hurt someone? Have I neglected care for the poor and the needy? just some things there to consider. And depending how we answer those, it gives a real picture of where we're at. The phrase, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, means that you will order your life in keeping with the scriptures. You will have personal satisfaction. You will have peace, not pride, but a peace that passes all understanding. And then the phrase, not in another, means you will not need to compare yourselves with someone else. As Christians, we must examine ourselves and make sure our attitudes and way of life are right before we give spiritual help to others. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." This is really important. And how often I'm going about my day doing my thing because I think that I can really make things happen. We need to not do things to impress people, but to be able to do things for the Lord and rest in it and allow Him to make things happen. When we are always concerned about what people think, we cannot find peace in serving because there's never enough. There's always more to try to prove to someone who we are or what we are. We are searching for peace in what we understand others think of us instead of what God wants or thinks of us. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Bearing our own burden. How does that fit with verse 2? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's where our English language gets a little mixed up sometimes. Here in verse 5, it is saying each person is accountable to God for their own actions. We each have a responsibility and accountability to the Lord. Burdens in verse 5 refers to a task or responsibility. It means the obligations of doing what God has for us to do. Living out His commands. The word burden here does not have the same meaning as in verse 2. These two burdens come from two different Greek words. In verse 2, it speaks more of a heavy load, the cause of a circumstance such as an accident, financial burden, unexpected health issues. I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters here that are a really good example of verse 2 and of verse 5. In verse 2, we've recently had situations that I believe within the brotherhood that I believe we really were able to work out verse 2. Brother Melvin's fire, brother and sister Mitch and Hannah, and the loss of a child, brother Nevin's hospital bills, welcoming of the Owens family, and the need for housing. And there's many more that you know, I don't know. God knows them all. But I do believe that we were able to live out that verse 2 in burdens that were overwhelming. In verse 5, we need to personally live out what God is calling us to do. Each one of us has a responsibility to do what God wants us to do. We cannot let the world dictate what we are to do. We must carry out our burden, our load, or our calling, and do what God has us to do. On to verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I believe some other versions say that just a little bit differently there. NIV says, must share all good things. We have a responsibility to, we each have a responsibility to support and encourage those that teach and preach. Pastors, ministers, and teachers in local churches must not be left alone to do all the work. There must be a sharing of all the work in the fellowship. And I'm thankful. I believe that happens at Beacon of Light. Again, I believe the Anabaptists have a good understanding of the word in this area. First, by the plural ministry, and then many other ways in the way things are shared out and the responsibilities. I've seen paid pastors, and this doesn't always happen, but many times people come to church, they sit in the bench, and they pay that guy up front to do the job, to make things right, to say what they want him to say. And I'm thankful that we don't have that here. I'm thankful that we can preach the word that God has. And then there is so much help, so much support, so much encouragement. I know that I hear it, and I know Brother Manuel and Brother Melvin hears it. And there's just a lot of encouragement, a lot of people very willing to pick up pieces, teaching, whatever it might be. And I'm thankful for that. That is what it's talking about in helping and sharing in good things for those that are responsible to teach and preach the word. I think it talks about that in verse 10 there. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them are the household of faith. We come to church here to hear the word being preached, to sing together, to pray together, to encourage one another, to build each other up. And those are all part of helping each other. But I know that it happens during the week that there's different people meeting with different people, encouraging one another, praying together. There is so much of that kind of thing happening here, and I'm thankful for that. On to verse 7 and 8. Sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There we go again. Be not deceived. It's telling us here again to not be deceived, how easily we are deceived. This idea of reaping, sowing and reaping, is so real all around us in our own lives. How many times do we see people get upset at God because so much of their life is so messed up? And what do they want to do? They want to blame somebody else, and many times they want to blame God. So many times they're really reaping what they sowed. If we don't take seriously God's word, then we won't be able to live out his love and his commands. And when we don't take seriously God's word, we end up doing things that we are not to be doing. And sometimes we end up doing things that we are not supposed to be doing. And we get ourselves in trouble. And sometimes it might look like really good things. Sowing to the flesh means that one permits the lower sinful nature to govern his conduct. Such a course of action can result in a harvest of corruption. That is moral and spiritual ruin. That word corruption, that's a big word. And that is where so much ends up when we are not doing what God wants us to do. That word is translated from phthora. Now, I'm probably not saying that exactly right, but there's a lot of letters in there. Anyways, it refers to that which goes from better to worse. The word used to be used for describing decaying food. Do we want what we're doing to be like decaying food? The story is told of a man named Hemingway from the early 1900s who snubbed his nose at morality and at God. He claimed his life proved that he could do what he wanted and to get away with it. His debauchery led to despair. And in 1961, he committed suicide. This kind of thinking is what's happening so often in the world today. It's amazing how many suicides are among celebrities. I hear it from time to time. I see some celebrity just took his life or her life. And they have all the world could offer, but they don't have peace because the world can't offer that peace. A Sunday school teacher asked her class when studying Luke chapter 16, who would you rather be, the rich man or Lazarus? A little fellow in the class said, I'd like to be the rich man in this life and Lazarus in the next life. It's not the way it works. That is pretty selfish. I want what I want, and then I want the consequences to be something better than what I want. If we are like the unrepentant rich man in this life, we will experience corruption from bad to worse, rotting food. Just a little more about sowing or walking in the flesh. Judges 17:6 says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Do we see a lot of that happening today? We do. And where is it all heading? Many times we don't realize we are making decisions that seem right to us, but in the end, they end up terrible. I'd like to consider just a few examples in the Word that seem good, but ended up bad simply because they refused to do exactly what God said to do. These are very common ones. Adam eats the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That wasn't a bad tree. God didn't make a bad tree. It was the decision that was wrong. It was walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. Everything in the world was good, so the serpent had to tempt Eve with something that was good and pleasing. Compared to the manifest works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, which we had looked at not too long ago, but I'm just going to read some of these. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Doesn't sound so good. Compared to that, to eating a piece of fruit. Well, let's eat the fruit. That doesn't sound so bad. But the consequences of that act were substantial. We're all dealing with it today. When someone says, it isn't really that bad, or who said it matters? Maybe you just think, well, one time won't matter. I bet if you could ask Adam and Eve, does it really matter? I think we would know the response we would get today. Second one, Saul saves the best for God. God wanted the Amalekites dead, down to the last donkey. But Saul had a better idea. Didn't that sound noble? Number three, the Israelites refused to enter the promised land. It's natural to be afraid of giants, especially if you've got small children. But God told them he would be with them. Who's bigger, the giants or God? Giants get pretty big in our life. The Israelites' fear meant missing an opportunity to see God do mighty works, mighty things. It also meant that they ended up living in the wilderness. When we don't do what God wants, oftentimes we end up living in the wilderness. The fourth one, Jesus tells the disciples he has to die. And Peter says, that's a bad idea. For this, Peter receives the most famous rebuke in the Bible. Get behind me, Satan. What's the common denominator of all these situations? They were all operating out of the flesh and their own understanding. How easy is it to be deceived? There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. If you're doing all the right things, saying all the right things, all the right words, it appears okay. Or at least what you think are all the right things, that are all the right words. You may even get a pastor to tell you it is okay. However, if you are not thinking right and not living right, it will catch up with you. If you know something is not right in your life, I implore you, talk to someone. Talk to a brother, a Christian brother or sister, that will point you to the truth and not just tell you what you want to hear. Most importantly, go to Jesus. If you seek him and ask for understanding, he will give it to you. That's if you're seeking with a humble heart, sincere heart, a sober heart, a repentant heart. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're not doing what God says and wants us to do, we'll walk in the flesh. That just is part of the program. May I suggest that we really need Christian brothers and sisters to tell us the truth and help us walk in the Spirit. Children, young people, you need your parents. Or at least leaders that will be truthful with you and tell you what the truth is. All of us really need godly leadership and a submitting to one another. It's called humility. God's word is truth, and when we think we know better than those God has put over us in the Lord, we will get into trouble. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We really need a humble spirit. If you are doing things on your own and someone is warning you, you better stop and consider. You might think you know better, but it's a matter of time till you reap the consequences. If you're playing with pornography or some other sexual sin, don't think you can get away with it. If you're watching movies or listening to wrong music, playing with drugs, hanging out with the wrong crowd, get help. You are playing with fire. Remember, you are not smarter than Satan. These things are of Satan and will take you down a road you don't want to go. And the thing about it is, many times we're deceived and we think we're okay. We all have seen people go down roads that did not end up well. And they all, probably most of them, thought they're okay. If you think you can get away with it, you're kidding yourself. As it said in verse 3, you're deceiving yourself. Don't put it off. Today you can do something about it. On to verse 10, 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Perseverance. How easy it is to give up and just go along with the flow. We must know what the Lord wants us to do and then stick with it, no matter what the cost. There's many of the disciples that died because they were doing what God wanted them to do. There's many of our forefather Anabaptists, forefathers, that have died because they were doing the same thing. They did what they understood God wanted them to do. If it is from the Word, we will not be popular. I think Jim talked about that. However, we will be victorious if we don't give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mothers, don't give up. I know sometimes you might have days that seem endless, and you get to the end of the day and you might feel like, why? It's not getting any better. Dads, sometimes you feel like you can never catch up. You go to work, you come home. Young people, sometimes you feel like you're never going to get to be somebody. We must never give up. Keep looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. It doesn't mean that when you get to the end of the day, you have to feel really good. It's good sometimes to get to the end of the day and feel like, I accomplished something today. But we got to remember, God accomplished something today through us. Do what you do for God. He will reward it. To recap some of the things that we just looked at here, Paul outlines the basic qualities of genuinely spiritual persons. Those who are saved by the grace of God out of a love for the Savior will do this list. Number one, will attempt to restore a sinning brother. Verse 2, will help bear the heavy burdens of others. Verse 3, will not hold high opinions of themselves. Verse 4, will examine the quality of their own Christian service. Verse 5, will bear the responsibility of their own spiritual tasks. Verse 6, will support the work of spiritual leaders, teachers. Verse 7 and 8, will keep aware of the principle of sowing and reaping. Verse 9, will not grow weary of routine Christian service. And verse 10, will do good to all persons, saved and unsaved alike. Lord, help us take your word seriously and keep seeking after you. May the Lord bless you as you work these things out in your life and desire to walk in the way that the Lord would have you to walk.